Blog Talk Radio. left. I am your host, David Little Eagle, and here with my co-host and producer, Nell Cole. And you all know her. Yes, you do. With us tonight, we have a special co-host, an amazing poet, an amazing human being, who is also joining us tonight. With us, Mary Grabiel. And it's a great honor to have you on the show, Mary. Could you please tell our listeners a little about yourself, and then we are going to introduce our awesome guests for the night, for this evening. Mary, tell us a little about yourself.
Sure, and just first, thank you so much for that incredibly beautiful introduction song. I know that's your song, and it's just such a beautiful, ethereal song. It goes straight to my heart and just takes my mind to a higher place, so that's right where I want to be right now. And Nell, thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's also an honor to be here on the night that Deffy is here to share her story, so I'm very much looking forward to that. I've heard some of it, and really think that we've only chipped the little chips of ice off of that iceberg so far, so I'm looking forward to delving into that. But as far as myself, I do write some poetry that, you know, Nell has had me on before for that, but as a profession, I'm a body worker. Right now I do mostly massage therapy and energy work, polarity therapy, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of an intuitive body work. I don't really have a plan. And prior to that, I also did physical therapy. So that's my profession. And as far as me, I just, you know, delve into as many things that make my soul feel alive as I can to cope with life, as many of us do. So with that, I turn it back over to my dear brother, David.
Oh, thank you very much, Mary. Okay, the opening song is called Ancestral Covenants, and this introduction song is the one that's going to lead into the show at this point. With us, again, we have Daffy Pujak, who is not just a storyteller, but she is a wonderful sister who not only tells the stories but lives the stories. She works with children. She has a camp that teaches the up-and-coming generations of indigenous youth about the old ways of our ancestors, the herbs, the plants, and teaching them to respect earth, sky, and all in between. Because that's what it's all about. The name of the song was Ancestral Covenants, a covenant that was made between Tukashila, the Great Spirit, and his people throughout Turtle Island, and I believe also with Aboriginal peoples throughout the world, because all of us were tribal at one time. It does not matter the color of skin. And Daffy is a teller of these stories, and it is a great honor and pleasure to have with us again Daffy Pujak. Please tell us a little about yourself again, my sister, and let our listeners know about yourself, the work that you do, and then go right into whatever the Great Spirit leads you to do, my sister. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I feel blessed to be able to share some of the teachings and the stories that I've been given throughout my travels. So a little bit about myself. Like you said, I work with kids. I've been working with kids for a long time, maybe about 12 years or so. It was an accident. I fell into a substitute teacher, and then, well, I guess it wasn't an accident. Creator had a plan. And it was, when I look back at it now, it was to teach me patience. You know, it was to teach me how to understand the children and what the children were seeking, what they were craving for in their life. First Nations children, I noticed that whenever I came out and, you know, I started to talk about our culture and our ways, everybody was quiet. Everybody quieted down, and this was my way of calming the kids, hey, calming them. As you know, when, you know, kids in a school, if they have a substitute teacher, they're usually like, you know, all haywire, and let's see what we can get away with the teacher. And like I said, it was no mistake that I happened to be there talking patients and to look at the kids and to see what they needed and what they were asking for and what they wanted. And it was the stories. I could start talking and tell them about these stories, and they would, you know, everybody would be quiet. Let's hear her. Let's listen to her. Shh, be quiet, guys. And, you know, and I started to notice it more and more, where a lot of times there was kids in the school where, or in corrections, I also work in corrections, where they would say, oh, you know, you might have a hard time with this child or this child. And it always seemed that the stories calmed them. It calmed their spirits, and it settled them. So I knew there was something there, and this is what they were craving. If I could get, with a story of where they come from and who they are, that calmness in them, I knew I was doing something right, and I knew that I was on the right trail. So along with my work in schools and in corrections, I've also been doing all kinds of work in elementary schools. The ages just range, you know. I've done with my my Aboriginal, however you call it, cultural teachings, I guess you would say that. I'm a cultural teacher, cultural advisor. So it was nice because there was many times where I was afraid, I guess, to say what I wanted to say in front of elders, right? Or, you know, because I'm young, and I would, you know, I wonder how they're going to take it. And I guess that was one of the most beautiful things, where I knew I was doing the right thing also, is when the elders came after they heard what I had to share, and they said, you know what, you're right, what you said there. And, you know, my grandfather and my parents even used to tell me those things too, and we're so happy that you're here to share this with the kids. So it was a good thing that they were happy, and they said, you know, that I had an elder come up to me, and she was also a cultural teacher. She's a very kind, beautiful person, and she had came up to me one day, and she said, I watch you. I watch you when you talk with the children, when you teach the children. And she said, and I see that the kids listen to you really good. She said, it's strange because I can go and say the same thing or make the same point, but they don't listen. She said, you have a way to help them to understand. And so it's been my purpose to help the kids, somewhat of a translator, right, to understand what the elders are teaching us, to understand our place in this world and, you know, how we belong, and to explain that to the kids so that they can understand it in today's world. So that's a bit about what I do. And I also have the camp in the summer. It started out small, and it's going well. I just want to do the best that I can for the children, for the future, the changes that are happening in the world. Just as long as I can do the best that I can as a simple, and, you know, then I will feel good about myself, and I won't feel, I guess, I want to go to the spirit world in a good way, with a clear mind, and not have to worry, and to know that I did the very best that I could while I was on this earth as a human, as a simple human being, to help as many as I could.
Wow. Yeah, the children will tell you who the real storytellers are more than anything else. And if you can calm a child's soul, then there's nothing more powerful on earth than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really enjoy what I do. So today I thought, you know, many times I get questions. Sometimes people ask me, you know, how do you know if you're a good person? What is creator? You know, so I try to explain it the best way that I know how, the way I was taught. I don't know everything, but the things that I do know, I always pray even before I talk, before I speak. You know, anything I do when I work with the kids before I go, I ask Creator, help me, Creator, to speak the words that you want me to speak. Help me, Creator, to speak your truth, Creator. Help me to see your truth, Creator. Help me to understand your truth, Creator. And help me to understand my place in this world. And so with that, I started to learn about our place in this world. And when I started to understand more, I felt I belonged. I belonged to something. And then I started to see where there could be a sense of loss with the people. There are many times where there are people who are sad or depressed, and they feel as though they don't belong, and they feel lost somehow. And to me, I see that, you know, I was once that way. I once, you know, I felt sad for myself. I felt pity for myself, and I thought, well, I don't really belong anywhere, and this, and on and on and on. I went through that. So we're also taught in our way that we only speak about the things that we fully understand. So when Creator put those obstacles in my way, where the times when I felt pity for myself, when I felt sadness, when I felt I couldn't, I didn't belong, and that I couldn't find my place, He did all of that for a reason, so that I could have this understanding. So I'm always thankful for all of my obstacles that I've been through in my life, because this is the way Creator has chosen to teach me. How you would say tough love, right? Creator showing tough love when He teaches us things through our obstacles, through the things that we try to understand. And one of the things that I was also taught from my elders that I came across, they also said, in our way, in the traditional way, many times where, you know, you hear people to say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I could go back, and I wish I could change it, or I wish it was different. And in my teachings that I learned with the elders and Creator, that understanding came where, you know, there I would see many people, and they would be, you know, I would meet them 1 year, and they would have these obstacles, and then they would be, I would run into them again the next year, and they would still have the same obstacles, running to them the next year again, the same one. And I noticed that those people were always saying, I wish it wasn't like this. I wish I didn't do that. I regret this. I regret that. In our way, we're not supposed to say we regret or we wish we didn't do that, because as difficult as many of our lessons have to be, the Creator doesn't put anything in front of us that He knows we can't handle. And to regret, Creator will answer your wish. So when you say, I wish I didn't do that, He'll say, okay, grandchild, I'll put you right back there. This is your wish. Okay, now you can learn it over again. And then the people wonder why they're not moving forward with their teachings, their understandings, why they keep ending back at the same spot. So I started to learn more about you know, our ways and our place as human beings, that belonging. This is what is missing. And I guess to me, in my view, I see through the teachings of the elders and, you know, the ceremonies, that when Creator created this earth, He created all things, the trees, the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds, everything, the human beings. And when He created them all as equals. Everything that He created on the earth is an equal. And this is a concept, I guess, it's with that grows with age and experience, because I noticed that it's hard for kids to understand this concept, but as parents, you understand it easier, because if you had three children and somebody came up to you and said, which one which child do you think is the better one? Which one is above the rest of them? Would you be able to do that as a parent? Most people wouldn't be able to do that. So Creator can't do that either, because he loves us all equally. He loves us all the same. And I feel that this is something really big that is missing, because there, you know, not to put down any other ways, but it's just my view is that, you know, if you had three kids and you took one out and you told them, okay, you're special, you're going to go over here by yourself, and you're going to go over here because you're special, and you're always going to stay beside me, and these other ones, they can go on like that. What would happen there? That one child that got taken away would start to feel out of place. They would feel as though they didn't belong because they got taken out of that. So many times in human beings, they see themselves as above, you know, the birds, the animals, the trees. So what is really overconfidence? Overconfidence in anything in life is a lack of confidence. Mm. So human beings, they've come to that, and overconfidence becomes a lack of confidence, where they're missing that belonging. They're missing that understanding that they're equal to everything in life. So if you think about it, if you took a child out, one child out of a group, and you told them that they're special and they're going to do this and this, they would want that. They would wonder, why? Why am I taken out of this? Why can't I be with them? I don't feel like I belong. And, you know, and meanwhile, the other kids are, you know, would also be looking and saying, well, how come, you know, they're above me, you know, and why aren't they here with us? So the way we feel, Creator put love, understanding, and everything inside of us. And he also put that in all the animals and the trees and the plants, everything that he created. Many times there is other views in life where people say, you know, well, the animals are godlike, they're pure. But these animals have that ability to love. They have that ability to care for their young, to fight for their life, to fight for where they belong. And with all the changes going on in the earth, the human beings, they're worried. And so are the animals. And so are the trees and the plants and the fish. Everything that is on the earth has concerns right now, because mm-hmm. they're concerned for their children, their future grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. The same way we would think about the future of our grandchildren and our future children, grandchildren, these plants, these animals, they think that way too. So to me, you know, bringing these teachings out, they've been, you know, I guess somewhat asleep for a while. But there are many, many workers out there right now, spiritual workers, people working in the schools, and you know, all over the Turtle Island, there's many people that are speaking up now about our ways and about our traditions and the way that we see life should be. I'm just one person of many, and you know, I don't consider myself to be above anything, because that's not our way. We are equal to all things, all living things. And it's a hard, concept to understand. It takes a lot of thought and a lot of faith in Creator to learning, to understanding, to, you know, letting Creator guide your life for these different teachings and understandings. And I feel very blessed at this time to have run into so many of Creator's workers. There's so many of them out there. There's many people out there who have camps like mine. there's many elders out there who are working with their grandchildren right now, who are telling them the stories and teaching them about the land. And these teachings are coming out because it's a part of our stories, our prophecies, you would say, in the English language, I guess, about the changing of times, you know, the signs that Creator has sent to the people. You know, he had given signs in the prophecies. Through the medicine people, they were told years and years, many years ago. I don't know the number, but I do know my grandfather had said his grandfather told him the story, and he told him it was, you know, very important to make sure and to tell your grandkids. So when he told me that story, and I don't know if I shared that story on, I think I did. About the changing of times, like the weather changing and the animals moving and, you know, tornadoes, flooding, earthquakes.
I don't think you did.
What's that?
I don't think you shared that yet with us.
Yeah.
No?
I think a little bit. I remember a little bit you talking about that on the show where you spoke of the white buffalo sighting in Montana and about that. You know, the signs that your grandfather had shared with you.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and a lot of those stories have been cropping up over the past decade or so, and more so recently.
Right. And so I felt it, you know, of importance because I started to see the signs to learn more. Because learning is a choice. Growth, spiritual growth, emotional growth is a choice of the human being. Trust and faith in the Creator and knowing that He's going to guide you in the right way, the way, you know, the way that He set your path to be. You know, I didn't always understand, you know, what my my grandparents were saying, but as I got older, I remembered the things that they were teaching me. So it was a blessing, I guess, to remember little bits here and there. It's like somebody would bring up a conversation. I was like, oh, hey, I remember that. I remember my mushroom, my grandfather telling me that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember. And then I feel really happy because it lit something up in my heart, I guess, that was asleep for a while. And with everything I do, you know, I always let Creator, you know, Creator, you are the one that, you know, the power of this earth, there's nothing that is beyond you, Creator. You are good and you are beautiful. And look at everything that you've created around us. You know, some days I look outside and I'll look at the sky and I'll think, wow, I can't believe that. That's so beautiful, you know, and, you know, how much, I guess, effort and work Creator puts into our daily lives that we just let pass by. You know, like the color of the sunset, and the way the sun looks when it's rising, the clear blue sky, the clouds in the sky moving around, the birds flying, a rainbow, the rain falling, all of these things. So I guess it awoke my spiritual awareness. More so, with every lesson that I learned, I felt. I felt more at ease. My soul felt calm, and I felt that, you know, Creator put me in this place, and I am doing the best that I can as a simple human being at this time in my life. So I know I'm on the right path. This is what He wanted. So I give thanks. You know, Creator, thank you for guiding me. Thank you for, you know, putting me in the place that you want, because I gave to Him my life. And Creator, I made a choice, I guess, years ago when I was younger. And, you know, Creator, you know, I give to you my life. I'll help you, Creator. Whatever way, as a simple human being, I can help you, I'll help you, Creator. You know, set, you know, whatever it is you want me to do, put it there, and I'll do it, whatever you ask of me. And it's what He asked of me, to work with the kids. Because it just fell into place like that. I don't have a Western education. I've been working in schools for a long time, so it's surprising sometimes. Some days I when I'm working someplace, I'll think back and think about my commitments I made to Creator, and I'll think, you know what, Creator, thank you so much, because in this day and in this age, it's a blessing to be doing what I'm doing and to not have a Western education, to value so much the teachings and the culture, and to know and have faith that everything's going to fall into place the way it should. So it also brings me happiness and hope in knowing that without an education, I'm going into the schools, I'm going into the correctional centers, and I'm teaching the best way that I know how.
That's beautiful, Jesse.
Oh.
A beautiful way to be, and I agree. The Western education, you know, sure, people need jobs and stuff. They want to go get a degree and get a job and do whatever work they feel they're called to do in the world. But there's something much more sacred and important about the journey you're on, because you're learning things that people otherwise have blinders on to, because they're so engaged in their brain. And, you know, just hearing you talk about your journeys and your, you know, realizations of the teachings from your heritage and living those and, you know, really living that. Everyone says, oh, you know, we should think of the world as how it will unfold for the next seven generations. You're truly living that, and that's a beautiful thing, and thank you for sharing that.
Wow. Well, I thank you all for listening, for taking the time to listen to what I have to say, and just, you know, acknowledging all of the elders that came along in my life with sharing these teachings and helping me to understand what it is Creator asks of me in this lifetime.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Another part of that, I guess, in our teachings, hey, I have a good friend, and she's a really... she questions me a lot, eh? She does it with good intentions. I see that the things that she's asked me have really sparked all of these memories in my childhood. But I remember she was, you know, saying, you know, well, not to put down any other religion, but she did say, you know, well, I thought God made the human beings in the image of Him. And I said, He made all creation in the image of Him. And then she said, well, how do you know that? And I said, and she goes, to me, the animals are pure. And I said, yes, they are connected. They are more so connected than the human beings. We are disconnected, you know, somewhat from the Mother Earth and the Creator, because we lived in a different time. We live above the ground now, and before, you know, the native people, you know, the human beings were sleeping on the ground and they were connected to the earth. And I remember a story when I was younger, hey. I guess in our ways, too, we also, from what the stories I got from my grandmother, we also believe in, like, reincarnation, right? I remember as a little kid in my grandma's kitchen, she was cooking, hey? She was cooking, and I saw this. She had her door open. She used to leave her door open all the time. She liked the fresh air and the wind coming in her house. And my grandpa was always working outside. And this butterfly came flying in the house, and I was really small. I must have been about 3 or 4. And then I was jumping, and I was chasing this butterfly, and I was clapping my hands. I wanted to squish it. I don't know why. I wanted to squish this butterfly for some strange reason. I have no idea. I was just a little kid. So I was jumping and trying to catch it, and I wanted to squish it. and I was jumping up, and I finally, you know, my grandma, she watched me, hey, she was watching me while she was cooking, and she never said anything. She wanted to see what I was doing, I guess. When I caught the butterfly, I caught it in my hand, and I was going to take it, and I was going to pull a leg off or a wing, hey? And she said, no. She said, don't do that, no sim. She said it in our language, hey, you're not supposed to do that. And then I looked at her, and I thought, oh, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you don't know. She said, that could be my grandmother. That could be my great-grandmother. Don't you know your kukum used to have a kukum too? And I said, yeah, you did. And, you know, I was really shocked there. I was a little kid. I was like, holy, my kukum used to have a kukum too. And she said, yes, I used to have a kukum when I was a little girl too, and a great-grandmother. And she said, what if that's them? She said, you know, Creator, sometimes our relations, they get lonesome for us, and they want to see us too. She said, maybe Creator granted them a chance just to see us, even if it's only for a little bit. He'll renew their life in a butterfly or an ant or a spider just so that they could see you just for a moment. She said, so don't do that again. Don't do that to that butterfly. Or, you know, I would hear people say, you know, if you're mean to trees or you're chopping down trees for nothing and doing stuff like that, in the next life, you know, Creator will make you a tree so you can understand what was going on. Well, all of these things, this is what they said, you know. In your next life, you might be an ant in an ant pile you just broke. You might be a bee in a beehive you just broke. And you never know what Creator has for us, what kind of plans He has for us. So you always be careful. You always honor these creations. And you could also, you know, could be your grandfather or your grandmother coming to visit you. You know, because they were missing you and they're lonely, and Creator granted them that time to come and see you and visit you because they missed you. So this is, when she had told me that, I remembered those stories. And I told her, to me, I said, my grandparents, they love me. These are the people that love me the most. I said, if I ever could think about love and imagine the way that feels, and think about a time where I ever felt so deeply loved, it was from my grandmother and my grandfather. It was from my grandparents, you know, from my mom's side and my dad's side. This is the time where I felt the most love, when they were telling me these stories, when they were speaking to me this way. I felt something inside of me. And looking back at it as a child, you know, this was love. So I know that, and I trust them so much with everything that they said and taught me because of that love, because of that overwhelming feeling of love, that I know that they would never lie to me, that they would always tell me the truth. So this is the teachings that I live by.
It's a beautiful tribute to them.
Oh, man. There's so many things that you've said so far that has completely shifted my mindset on so many things. And your enthusiasm on when you're telling things is just incredible. It makes you a better human being just listening to you.
Well, thank you. Do my best with what little I have to help the people and the human beings. And I'm still learning. I'm still have an open heart and an open mind always to whatever Creator brings towards me.
It's so interesting to think of watching that whole story unfold and you going from a butterfly that was just a butterfly to now a relative is such a powerful way to teach a child that we're all connected and all things have value. And I bet from that day forward you probably never looked at a butterfly or a tree or anything else the same. Because
Yeah. So
it's just powerful. And to think that animals worry about their next generation, too, makes sense. Like, they want to survive, and they want their children to survive just as we want our children to survive.
Yeah.
So a while back, Daffy had said, and please correct me if I'm having a senior moment, but you had said something very, very important when you were asked if you had a website for the camp that you have for the children to learn important lessons in the relationship to earth and sky and all our relations of creation. And you said, I don't have a website, because the ones that need to learn, the ones that need the lesson, the ones that I need to work with will come and they will learn. And you had just said a few minutes ago as well that learning is a choice. And I think that teaching well is a choice. And as you're sharing your experiences with our listeners, and you're sharing your experiences and your stories with us that are on the panel with you, you know, it's a choice that we have. And, you know, it's a beautiful choice because of 1,000 people that will hear these beautiful stories, maybe one, maybe two, will hear and understand and grasp the concept of that sacred relationship between us and all of the great mysteries creation. And you know, those one or two are worth it. And you know, it is an important lesson for all of us. Because I know that in the work I do, there are times I feel very, very overwhelmed. And yet, you know, after feeling overwhelmed and probably getting no response, no reaction, no feedback, no comment, one person, one man, one woman, one child will come up to me and say, David Little Eagle, thank you. I needed to hear that. When I play my music, and there are times that I perform my music and I don't get any applause. And, you know, that doesn't bother me because my offering is to Creator, and my offering is to all my relations. And yet, I will watch an audience carefully and I would see tears coming down as they get in touch with that tribal past, that ancestral tribal path. And, you know, this is true of all people all over the world, Daffy. Would you say it doesn't matter the color of your skin, red, yellow, black, white, brown, purple, orange, it doesn't matter, every color in between. There was a time when we were all connected to the earth. That's why I love working with Mel, and I love working with Mary, and there are many people out there I really love working with. And, Daffy, you bring such a beautiful dimension, because when you tell the stories, you tell them in a contemporary way where the children don't have to scratch their heads and go, but what does that mean? What does that mean? They understand.
Mm-hmm.
And such important lessons for all of us to learn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something you mentioned about animals and, you know, sighting animals and realizing that they could be the reincarnation of a relative and so forth. And I completely share that belief. I've experienced that myself, where you just, you know, you come to associate a certain animal with a certain person because it always appears at exactly the right moment when you've been thinking of them or talking of them, and it happens repetitively, and then you go, oh, okay, that's always how they're going to show themselves to me. Do you share that belief?
Yes, I do share that same belief, and it's also teaching. Because all creation has a piece of Creator inside of them, hey? And just like, you know, David was saying, one time he felt real overwhelmed. Like he was overwhelmed with the work you're doing. There was a time, and this was during the summer, hey? And I was feeling really overwhelmed. Like a part of me was thinking, you know, Creator, am I really brave enough to do this? Creator, am I really doing the right thing? Are you sure you picked the right person, Creator? Maybe somebody else could do a better job than me. Sometimes I think it's so hard, Creator, and I hope you hear me. I hope that you're listening to me, Creator. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, Creator. I'm just a child, and I don't know anything, and I'm doing the best I can in the places that you've put me, but sometimes it's hard on me. And so I said this prayer, and I put tobacco out, and I also gave thanks. You know, I thank you, Creator. I'm not saying I regret anything, but I'm just telling you that it's hard on me. And I went to sleep, and I cried a little before I went to sleep. Eh? And I woke up in the morning, and I had a really beautiful dream. And, and when I woke up, I walked out into the kitchen, and I don't know, there was something like a ray of sunlight, you know, just like it just came into the house, and I saw something in the corner of my eye glistening, and I looked, and it was a spider web, and it wasn't there when I went to sleep, and there was two cups on my table, and there was a huge spider web. This spider worked all night, and this huge web it created. The spider also represents the web of life, and to me, what this was telling me is that we don't have to be something really big to do things in life. The spider is so tiny, and in the time that I was asleep, it created something so beautiful. And I sat there, and I watched that spider, and I watched that spider web, and I gave thanks to that spider. Because I was thinking things were going to be so hard for me and so difficult, and the spider came to teach me that they're not always so hard. We just have to have faith. With the little time that spider had, the great web that it had woven through the night. So it was really a good teaching to me. And after that I thought, well, there's my sign. Creator's telling me everything is going to be fine.
Awesome. When you mentioned about your uncertainty about whether you thought you were the right person, that if the Creator had chosen the right person, I was thinking, but it is exactly for that reason. Your humility is why you do this work.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had the experience of speaking to someone who understood things to the level that you do. Like the way you tell the story, it's just everything becomes magical around you. And I'm sure that's what the kids are drawn to too, is you bring an ordinary room to life, and all of a sudden within the kids' eyes, magic is everywhere. A ray of sunshine is magic. A spider is magic. The smallest little nuances of things become a whole story and a whole, like, movie even. So it just must be fantastic to be around you and watch you experience life.
Well, what's really amazing is that we're in a venue right now where we do not have visual. You know, we're talking on Blog Talk Radio, and the last time we had. Had you on, Daffy, and you were telling the stories, getting to know Creator, understanding Creator, and you were telling these stories. I closed my eyes and I could see. I could see.
Absolutely.
You know, I could see that the youngest, least powerful brother who had a connection to the water spirit, I could see him. I could see him in action. I could hear him speaking. So it's not even being in close proximity, not even being in the same room, because the spirits just connect the listeners to such a beautiful, beautiful spirit, just sharing these stories, because that's my personal experience with you, Daffy, is that I can I can feel the story and experience it.
I agree. I think, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're constantly, you know, checking yourself and questioning and wanting to be that conduit and asking if you're doing the right thing. I think it's important to be aware, you know, and you know, not let people stray you in any other direction. But I think you're doing exactly what you should be doing.
Right.
And if that means anything to you coming from another person outside of your heritage, I think it, you know, it's just so obvious that you're following this beautiful path and sharing your ancestry and living it, really, truly living it.
It's funny listening to you, because when I was probably like 10 or 11, I had a lady come into my life, and she told stories and had energy like you, and I swear it was like living in just pure magic, just be around her and stand by her, and just the excitement of singing a song was so exciting that even to this day, so many years later, I still remember the energy of that. So when you speak to those children and you tell those stories, you've changed them forever.
Oh.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't give the feedback, you know, whether it be a child or an adult. You work with children, obviously, but there are many adults that you're affecting as well, ourselves included. And,
exactly.
People don't always express or give feedback or question. But you just know they're absorbing it. They're absorbing it, and that's all that matters, because that's planting those seeds. And you know, they'll always remember, like you said, you always remembered, or later in life you remembered, oh, that's what my grandfather meant. Those people are also saying, oh, now I remember, that's what that woman said. So that's, you know, that happens layer upon layer throughout time. So you know, that's the journey for everyone.
It's a thread that's put out there that finds its own path. So, was there anything else you wanted to share with us tonight?
With all your guys' feedback, when you're saying, you know, you could imagine the story that I'm telling and talking about.
Yeah.
This is that piece of creator that he put inside of us that allows us to feel. And our minds and our heart need to work together. It has to be a balance. There's many times people, they use too much thought and they overthink things and they forget to feel. And that's that part that Creator gave to us, those abilities to feel emotion, to feel joy, to feel frustration, all of these things. And to use our intuition, you know, like, you know, if you ran into somebody and, maybe somewhere in your intuition, or you were driving along the road and something told you, slow down, or and you slowed down and maybe a few minutes down the road there was an accident, or, you know, somebody was, you know, telling you that, you know, be wary, this person is going through a hard time right now, and they might not be in the best mood today. You know, this is the part that Creator gave to us. And this is something that I see in many people that they need to honor. When we honor that part of us, that intuition that allows us to feel, like the stories, when you allowed yourself to imagine, to feel, this is the part that Creator gave us, to feel our emotions and to using our intuition, I guess, to know when a person is a good person or when a person is, you know, having a struggle at the moment. So I see that this is our also our connection to the earth.
Yeah.
Our senses, you know. So this is one of the reasons why I teach the children, so that they can become in tune with that part that the Creator gave to us, to balance our body, to balance our heart and our emotions and our mind. Many times people think too much and they don't feel enough. And it could also go for an opposite, where they feel too much and they're not putting enough thought into it.
Right.
You know, it mm-hmm. has to be a balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. I definitely go through life like that, hearing those that little voice in my head going like, slow down or watch out for this. And it has saved me more times because my judgment is not near what that voice's judgment is. So when I start hearing it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do exactly what you say. Just keep talking. I'm listening. Because I know how much it saved me, and I am always thankful to hear it.
Yeah, and isn't it the worst thing when you've had a voice or a feeling, intuition like that, and didn't follow it,
yeah.
and then things turned out the wrong way, and you go, duh, you know, it's like the person slapping themselves in the head saying, I could have had a V8. Like, why?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that, and I remember how I felt about that, and I knew it was the truth, and yet I went another way, so we're constantly
mm-hmm.
learning that lesson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think we all need to learn to listen. We hear things, but we don't listen. And when Daphne shares her story, I think that the core of each story of our ancestors, I'm speaking specifically of our Native ancestries, you know, the lessons that we teach our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children is we need to listen, because, ladies and gentlemen, and I would love to hear Daphne expound on this more too. Listen carefully, my friends. Listen carefully. If you can find yourself in the woods somewhere, and you just close your eyes and mm-hmm. shut off the MP3 player, shut off the iPod, shut off the whatever electronic gadget you have. Shut your eyes, close your eyes, and listen to what the earth is saying. Listen to what the trees are saying, and listen to the songs that the birds are singing. You know, if you listen, if you just listen, and you can connect to Mother Earth, and you can hear what the Father Sky is saying, and you listen, you can actually hear what they're saying, and you can hear what they're actually singing, the brooks, the streams, the river, and I would love to hear Daphne expound on that, because she has expressed it so beautifully in so many ways.
Yeah, for myself, I guess there's been times where, like I said, where I wasn't sure of something, or I wasn't sure I was going in the right direction, and I would always, Creator, help me to understand what it is that's coming. I feel something coming. And then, you know, the animals, they teach us a lot, along with the plants and the trees, the way they grow. Like I was taught, you know, the plants and the trees will teach you many things. The plants will teach you about sicknesses coming, hey? I remember, picking medicine one time. I remember one time there was a sage, and it used to grow really tall and really abundant. And I went out, and I thought, well, I can't find it anywhere. I wonder what's going on. Is very odd. And then I drove and drove and drove. So I started to ask other people. I went to go get this one sage, and I haven't found it. They're just really small, and I didn't want to pick them because I wanted them to grow. I didn't take the small ones because I wanted them to, I guess, repopulate. I didn't want to bother the seeds. So I didn't take them. And I asked some elders, and they said the same thing, too. They said, yeah, we've been looking. And we didn't pick either because, you know, they don't pick the small ones. You know. We didn't pick any either. So we know that it's true what you're saying. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, but I also noticed in the places where the sage used to grow, that there was another plant there. And this plant was for a sickness, eh? And then she said, yes, do you know what that means? And I said, I think I know. And she said, well, what? I said, I think it means this is a sickness is coming. This is why this medicine is more in abundance. And she said, yes, that's what it means. She said, if you watch the plants and the way they grow, they can tell you so much. Mm. And along with the birds, hey, it was a strange story with my partner, my boyfriend. He's from Haida Gwaii, and I remember we had met and we had talked, and I went to go and this was before I met him, hey. So I went to go pray on the hill. And I was sitting there. It was such a beautiful, beautiful day. All of a sudden, I saw this big bird, and I thought, that can't be an eagle. And I thought, what is it? I've never seen anything like it before. And all of a sudden, it came closer, and it was watching me. And I asked my friend, one of my friends, do you know what that is? I've never seen that kind over here. We don't have that kind of bird here. And she said, this is a raven. I said, really? I thought the ravens were on the west coast. And she said, yeah. I said, because it's bigger than our crows, but it's smaller than an eagle. I said, I've never seen anything like it, and it has a different beak than a crow. And she said, yeah, that's really strange. You don't usually see those birds here. And I said, yeah. And I told her, something's coming, because this bird come, and it came by itself. It come to bring a message to me. Said, oh, what do you think it means? I said, I don't know. And then soon after that, I met my my partner, hey? And, you know, it was such a really good, strong connection. And when I met him, I said, well, where are you from? He said, Haida Gwaii. And I was like, oh, in my mind right away, oh, there's that bird. And I told him, I don't know if you believe in these things. I said, but I do. I said, but before you came, I saw a raven, and the raven told me something was coming from the west coast. And I said, it was you. You know, it's like Creator, he has confirmations for us on the times when we're unsure of steps in our life. We just have to watch for them. We just have to listen. Exactly. There's also another way of listening to Creator, is to watch what is around us. Watch the signs in nature, the animals, the wind, you know, the water. So,
Carly, yes.
That's a great story about the raven. We like that one.
That is beautiful.
I had a similar turtle experience. But, yeah, you're right. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard. Seeing something and knowing that it means something, and then later on recognizing what you think it may have meant but never really knowing for sure. So there's always a little ambiguity there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always when you ask Creator, like I guess when you ask Creator when you're unsure of something like that, I ask Creator, you know, Creator, because there was many years I had spent alone, hey. I was without a partner for many years. And although I accepted during that time that Creator wanted me to be alone, because there was many things he needed me to learn, many things that I needed to do on my own, like to grow faith, to understand that we have an individual connection, each and every one of us, to the Creator, and to understand our own connection to Creator and to grasp that connection with the Creator and to clear it. Because everybody has their own connection. And many times a lot of people don't, I guess they don't understand this, that, you know, they think, you know, I used to think this way. This is why, hey, as I remember, I used to go to see many healers, spiritual people, and in a way, you know, their stories were good. They had many beautiful meanings and teachings, but I also needed to find my own connection with Creator, and I needed to know that Creator was there for me always. I needed to feel that. So there was a reason why I had to be alone for a while, so that I could establish my own connection. Because in the beginning, when we are finding our connection with the Creator, we always have our helper, somebody who comes along to help us to find our connection, to search for into ourselves. And when we find that connection and, you know, we're at peace and we let Creator guide us in our own way, this is those times where, you know, when you're unsure of something, you can ask Creator, you put it out to Him. Creator, you know, I know You are the one above all, and I know You are the one that holds everything together, Creator, that has created all these beautiful things on the earth. You are the one that makes the sky move. You are the one that lets the water flow and the plants grow and the animals move. You are the one, Creator. Help me, Creator. I'm not sure about something today. Help me, Creator. I trust in You, Creator. I trust in Your love and all of the beautiful things You've provided on this earth for me and for all of my relations. And I know that You are there for all of us, because it is only You, Creator, that gives all of this life. You are the only one who has the power to give life, Creator, and I understand that. And I ask You now, Creator, to help me to understand this. And He always listens, and He always answers back.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been through this, Daffy, but and Mary and Mel, they're probably going to chuckle at me over this, but there are times when I feel too many around me, and you know, I find that Creator sometimes gives me a gentle tap on the head and say, why do you want to be so alone? And Creator opens my heart, and He opens my eyes and opens my ears to the very sweet, gentle voices of many brothers and many sisters that surround me and encourage me. And this is another important lesson that, you know, since we are all connected, we need to be open to hear those voices and see those faces and experience those beautiful spirits around us. You know, it can be a very emotionally and psychologically and spiritually trying time when you just want to be alone. But you know, the great mystery won't let us be alone even when we want to be many times. Yeah, that's been my experience too.
Yeah,
I guess.
And we never know. We never know when we're going to be called to do something, and maybe we think it's not the most convenient time for us, or we're not feeling up to it. And then suddenly you realize this is an opportunity that can't be passed up. It's your calling. It's something that you've got to snap yourself out of it and go where you're needed. And then when you do that, you feel so much better and so happy that you did it, because you were in tune with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and another thing too, like that, during those times, I guess, when my grandparents died years ago, hey, and so did my dad. I think my dad passed away when I was 20, 22 or 23. Anyways, and my grandparents passed years ago too. So during that time, I felt I was alone, hey? But in reality, once I started to learn the teachings, I was never alone.
Right.
And this lesson for me was something very important because, it, like I had said, there's many people out there who feel they're alone, who have that sense that they don't have anybody. And when I started to understand how all my relations work, that we're related to everybody, and I understood my place on the earth, that I was just a tiny speck of something greater, then I felt I belonged.
Yep.
I really had a sense of belonging. The more the teachings came, you know, it's like when I teach the kids about the Creator, how we're all related, all my relations, I try my best way to explain that feeling that I felt during that time when I realized I wasn't alone. I realized, you know, when I tried to explain it to kids, they didn't really grasp it. So I told them, well, what is gravity? I said, to me, I said, if I could explain Creator to you guys know what gravity is. And they say, yep. Well, what does gravity do? Gravity holds us onto the earth. What would happen if somebody came and pulled out the gravity from us? What would happen? And the kids would be like, oh, we'd all be floating around, and the trees would too, and the animals too. And I said, yes. So what do you think Creator does? If Creator, to me, I said, I find Creator to be like gravity. He holds all of us together. He holds everything together on the Mother Earth. There's the Mother there, and then the Creator holds us down to the Mother Earth. And He doesn't just hold you know, the human beings, He holds everything, the trees, the plants, the animals, the human beings. He holds everything together so smoothly and so greatly. When you really think about the earth and everything that is on the earth, imagine the greatness of Creator, that power, that He can run everything so smoothly. What a great job He has, a huge, massive job to take care of everything that is on the earth. So when I work with kids, sometimes the kids feel they don't have a sense of belonging. This really helps young people, to, especially children, to understand that their place. You know, and it also brings humility. Because you imagine yourself, you know, you think about the world is round. Think about all the countries in the world, all of the animals that are on the earth, and how Creator holds them together and makes everything run smooth.
Wow.
So, it's the easiest way to explain it to a child.
And that's how you give them that comparison with science, with the gravity. That's a great analogy for kids as they're learning, whatever grade they're in, as they're learning new things about science, and you're you know, bringing that into the fold of how it works in the natural world. And so here, maybe they're studying about electrons and covalence and, you know, rings around molecules and how they're attracted and so that can also be used as an analogy for that coherence that you're talking about.
Exactly.
And that just goes to show you can, both teachings can coexist.
Yes.
Right.
And you know,
Yeah.
Mary and Steffi, you know, one thing that I consistently point out in my writings and poetry is that, you know, we live in essentially an overwhelming technological society, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And when the grave error that we make is that we use technology in essence to conquer, to challenge, to practically obliterate nature. And when Daffy was speaking about Creator as gravity, holding everything together and holding everything in balance, when we go against nature and we use technology to go against that gravity, and we essentially cause a separation of the coherent whole and of the collective whole, we're pretty much committing murder, if you think about it, and even committing suicide when we use these technologies. You see, science to understand nature is okay. However, when science is used to counteract and to contradict and to counterproduce against what creation has and our unity as relations, as family, that's when we cause destruction. That's why the stories that you share, Daffy, are so important.
Right.
When I read Mary's poetry, she also speaks about walking in the woods, and when she tells a story about just kneeling over and picking up the leaf and just picking up the leaf and looking at that leaf and studying it. Oh man. You know, she looks at the leaf and just it like cradles the leaf and caresses the leaf. Like saying, this is my family, this is my relative. That's what it's all about. And we need these stories. We need these lessons. And like I said before, you know, I'm encouraged by your example, Daffy, and I'm encouraged by your example, Mary, and I'm encouraged by your example, Mel, that in all that you do, you know, there are many people who may not listen to us. There are many people who may even laugh at us. They'll call us crazy. They'll call us superstitious. They will call us unconnected to reality. But the fact is that when you see a tree that's being cut down, you're seeing a relative that's being murdered. When you see animals that are hunted down for sport, that's murder. That's a crime. And we need these stories, my friends. We need them. Like, we need breath, we need air, we need water, and we need
those
food.
People you speak of, they're the ones who are disconnected.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, right.
Yeah,
wow.
And you know, people might, like you said, people might laugh. I cry when I see a tree has been cut down in the neighborhood, when I see that equipment, and I see all that destruction, and what I remember of a giant tree from my childhood that was beautiful and great at one time. And you know, I understand if it's disease, they have to do that. But there have been times when people have just said, oh, I don't want that tree in my yard. It's too much shade, or it's blocking my view. And you see something magnificent like that just destroyed. I've bawled my eyes out. You know, seeing things like that. So you, like Daffy mentioned earlier in the show, the feeling, how you feel. You feel these things. Some people feel them, some people don't.
Well, you know that when it comes to things like, and I know there are very strong opinions about the top subject of hunting, for example. There are times where it may be necessary to cut a tree. For what, you know, for disease or for me to use its strength and its elements to perhaps build shelter, or you need to hunt an animal in order for your children and your family to eat. You know, our people hunted the buffalo, they hunted the deer and utilized every part. But one thing that people don't understand, unlike the contemporary hunter, you know, when the children of the earth throughout the world hunted, they connected to that animal. They connected to that relative. They gave thanks to the Creator for the gift of that brother, that sister that's about to sacrifice his or her life. that the people might live. There needs to be a balance, you know, not all thinking and no feeling and not all feeling and no thinking. There has to be a balance that this relative is going to provide for us. So, you know, in a good way, when we do these things, we need to give back. Quickly, there's a story that I heard where a wonderful man, he's a teacher in New York, who gave an example of how he grew up with a deer. And they grew up together as children. And as they grew up, they grew strong and they grew, they grew very intelligent. And they came to know each other. And when the day came for the young man to hunt this relative, he prayed and said, "Creator, now I'm going to meet my brother in battle," and he would offer his prayers and offer tobacco and offer his songs, and when the hunt was over, he would approach the deer and he would cradle the deer's head, and with tears in his eyes, he would say, "Thank you. Thank you, my relative, for providing food and for providing clothing and shelter for my family, for my people." He said, "And I promise you this, that when I am buried in the bosom of Mother Earth, my body will provide food for your future generations." Mm. And that's what it's about, you know.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and I think, like you said, giving thanks. We all need to eat. Of course we need to eat. And we also need to give thanks to the being, whether it be animal, plant, whatever. I have a neighbor who there was a groundhog.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sorry.
Can I interrupt for a second? I have to get going. I have a date with my kids.
Oh.
They're all waiting for me.
Oh, please, yes. Hey, whatever you need to.
Okay, so I thank I'm very thankful to be on the show and to share the words and our stories with each other. I enjoy our time together, and I wish you all the best.
And we'll be seeing you again soon.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
So bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Daphne. Oh,
wow.
Mary,
isn't
now
that amazing?
What show? What
yeah,
show?
I think a little after discussion is okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was getting ready to say, David told the story about the deer in New York. I had a similar experience with a neighbor who a groundhog, big groundhog, was freshly hit by a car right in front of his driveway, and so the thing was just kind of hanging between the ditch and the front of his driveway, and this was in the middle of a heat wave in the summer. So he wasn't home, he was at work, and I immediately went over, and it was definitely dead, and I took some plastic bags and carefully lifted it and put it under his spruce tree just to keep it out of the way and protect it, and said my little prayers for it. And when he got home, I said, "There's a groundhog, I put it under your tree, you're going to have to do something with it because trash doesn't come and you don't want this thing decaying in the 95-degree heat in your driveway." So he said, Oh, I don't deal with any kind of dead animals. I said, "Well, what about your kids?" He had some teenage kids, and I said, "Maybe they do it for you." He said, "Oh no, they can't even deal with a bug or anything." So here I go with more plastic bags.
Yeah.
Got the groundhog and gently laid it in the back seat of my car. And drove it down to a wooded area, and it was a little back road. I thought, that would be a good place. I can drive back and walk back there a little ways and find a nice spot. And when I walked back there, suddenly here was just this gorgeous display of wild strawberries, those little teeny tiny wild strawberries, just a huge patch of them, and it was just kind of glowing, So I laid the groundhog to rest there, but I have to do those things, and it bothers me when people don't do those things.
Yes. Well, they're not connected anymore. It's a sad thing. You know, I gotta tell you, my sisters, I don't think I've ever been quite as affected. I have been affected by other shows that we've done, but you know, this show was very, very, very special to me. And you know, to all our friends and brothers and sisters listening to the show tonight, you know, I hope that you two have found a connection listening to these three extraordinary women on the panel tonight, and hearing the humble words of this old warrior here. Mm-hmm. Nell, is there any closing comment you'd like to make? I would like, if it's okay with you, to introduce the closing song.
Yeah, I would like to say, Mary, I'm very happy to welcome you to the Fire Talk production team, and I hope you'll continue to join us.
Oh, thank you, Nell. I'd be honored.
Aho. What a great honor to have you, Mary. You are absolutely beautiful, my sister. Thank you so much for being a special part of this panel. And yes, as our producer said, we want you back. Before we conclude the show tonight, what I would like to say to our friends listening to the show tonight, the name of the song that we're going to close the show with is a composition of mine for my CD, Healing Medicine. It's called Echoes of Winter. Right now, there are probably a lot of people out there who are going through some tough times, hard emotional times, wounded spirits, wounded bodies, going through so many things. This song, Echoes of Winter, is the first song on the CD, and it speaks of that need to connect to the great mystery. No matter what name you place upon it, we need to connect to the great mystery. And as we listen to this closing song, I hope that it speaks to you, and I hope that all of you are blessed, and I hope that you have a blessed night, and I hope and pray that you walk in beauty and you walk in balance upon Mother Earth, beneath Father Sky, and hand in hand with all our relations of the earth. And I wish you many blessings. Be good to one another, be kind to one another, and I thank you, Nell, and I thank you, Mary, for a wonderful
And we thank you, David.
Good night, my
relatives. Good night.